It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
Today I spoke to Green Party co-leader James Shaw about the 2021 budget and what it means for climate change, the Green Party's call for government to recognise Palestine's statehood, and their petition to stop wage suppression within the public sector.
Now, obviously, the big thing this past week was the budget, so let's start off with that. What are the notable changes to the budget compared to last year, and what are your thoughts on them?
Well, obviously, the single most significant item in the budget was the nearly $3 billion of additional support to go into lifting the basic benefit rates for people in line with the Welfare Expert Advisory Group a few years ago. We were really delighted with that because we got the Welfare Expert Advisory Group in as part of the Green Labour Confidence and Supply Agreement in the last term of Parliament. And we were disappointed that the results of that, you know, the recommendations were never followed. So the fact that these, you know, not all of the recommendations have been followed, but the most important part of it was this central recommendation to lift basic benefits. And we've now restored them to the level that they were prior to the 1991 mother of all budgets. So that's the most significant thing in this budget.
Tell me about this portion of the budget dedicated to climate initiatives. What is this money going towards? And speaking frankly, is it enough to reach our goals in time?
Well, there's kind of two main chunks in the budget around climate. So first of all, there's about $2.3 billion in this budget that's going towards initiatives to reduce emissions. Of that, just over half, about $1.3 billion, is going to rail, and most of that is going to freight. Some of it's going to regional rail, which is good to help sort of decongest the motorways near our bigger cities. But I think the benefit will really be felt in taking large trucks off the roads and moving freight from road to rail. There's also $300 million to New Zealand Green Investment Finance, which is the fund that we set up at the beginning of the last term. And then we only put in $100 million. So this quadruples the size of the Green Investment Fund, which I'm really delighted about. That obviously means they can do more, and it also means they can participate in larger projects as well. And then the other kind of main chunk of it in terms of this spending in this budget is around electrifying the vehicle fleet. So there's $302 million for the clean car discount, with the detail of which will be announced in a few weeks' time by Michael Wood. There's $56 million for implementing the clean car standard, which was announced at the end of last year. That's the tailpipe emission standards that New Zealand and I think Russia are the only two countries in the world not to have tailpipe emission standards. And there's, I think, something like $8 million that's going towards implementing the biofuel standard, because obviously we're going to be driving petrol vehicles for some time. And so what the idea is that every litre of petrol sold will have a portion of biofuels, and that helps to decarbonise that as well. There's also $120 million to go towards warmer Kiwi homes, which is the program for insulation subsidy, so that'll insulate about an additional 48,000 houses. So all of these things kind of add up. You know, you ask the question, is it enough? The answer is no. I said that at the time, and it never will be, because there will always be more things that need to happen until we hit net zero.
Could you elaborate on the emissions reduction plan for me?
Yeah, so the emissions reduction plan is the government's kind of all of government program for decarbonising the economy. We're legally obliged to table it in Parliament before the end of the year, and it's based on the advice that we received from the Climate Change Commission. We received that final advice in about 2 weeks' time on the 31st of May, and we'll release it kind of about a week after that. And the idea is that will give us both what our emissions budgets are, so how much pollution we're allowed to put into the atmosphere over the course of the next 5, 10 and 15 years. And then for each sector of the economy, whether that's transport, waste, energy, kind of industrial heat, agriculture and so on, it'll have a plan for each of those sectors for how we reduce our emissions.
So switching gears from the climate now, in regards to poverty, what further changes would the Green Party have liked to see to alleviate the issue of poverty more?
Well, there's a few things. One of the things that we thought around that benefit increase was that was the recommendation in 2019, and the rate that the the amount that was lifted in the budget last week was up to that level in 2019 numbers. And, of course, it hasn't been inflation adjusted for the last kind of 2 or 3 years. So we thought that that would have been helpful if that had come into place. And then there are some other reforms that were recommended in the Welfare Expert Advisory Group report as well. The hope that we have is that, you know, Grant and Jacinda will continue to roll those out over the course of the next couple of years. We're sort of hoping that they don't say, great, well, we've done it all now, that's it.
Yeah, so on the topic of the benefit, is the Green Party satisfied with the condition benefits are in right now? Does this budget do enough to repair the damage caused by the 91 budget?
Well, no. They certainly help. There have been a lot of stories over the course of the last few days since the budget from people who are really struggling to make ends meet, who now are going to finally have some hope that they are going to be able to. The Green Party's view is actually we need to do a complete overhaul of the whole system. And part of the issue is its incredible complexity and the fact that there are so many different benefits and benefit types and so on. And there are people who can spend up to 40 hours a week just trying to secure the following week's benefits when they could actually be spending that 40 hours a week, looking for or doing work. Our view is that the system needs a really comprehensive overhaul.
Now let's talk about this motion to recognise and support Palestinian statehood. Could you tell me what this is all about?
Well, obviously there's been this terrible conflict going on in Palestine over the course of the last several weeks, and hundreds of people have lost their lives there, the vast majority of whom have been Palestinians, although there have been some Israeli deaths as well. And the reason why my colleague Golrees tabled this motion to recognise Palestinian statehood is that that essentially is the cause of the problem. So, we really want, like pretty much everybody around the world, a two-state solution so that there is both an Israel and a Palestine and that they can coexist peacefully with each other. And until that situation, comes about, you will just see continuing violence in that part of the world.
Prime Minister Ardern has previously expressed her support for a two-state solution, but your motion was blocked by Parliament. What was your response to this news?
Well, we thought it was unfortunate. I mean, it was blocked by members of the ACT and National parties, and both of those parties have actually also officially called for a two-state solution as well. So I think in Parliament, generally speaking, there is support for a two-state solution right across the House from left to right. I guess it was just frankly politics that meant that that they didn't support it.
What would you say to those who have been protesting Parliament's inaction on this issue?
Our MPs have been very strong supporters of the peace movements and the people who have been calling for recognition of Palestine. As you said, the government itself has called continuously for a two-state solution. That's been true not just in this government, but also in previous governments. I do think it's unfortunate that politics got in the way of that motion last week.
Now let's lastly touch on public sector wage suppression. The Green Party has tabled a petition against the government's plan. Could you tell me about what you're seeking with this petition?
Well, more than 20,000 people actually signed that petition, so we're really delighted that there's that level of support out there in the general public for our public servants and the public services that people receive. There is some movement. So there were talks a couple of weeks ago between the government, the Public Service Association and the Council of Trade Unions, and it sounds like the government's agreed that unions can negotiate pay increases, at the very least to meet the cost of living. And also the government agreed to review its guidance about 6 months earlier than it had intended. So I think they're looking at the end of 2022 rather than mid-2023 as they'd initially planned.
Obviously, this petition received quite a bit of support, and the nurses' organisation has announced that they plan to strike next month. How do you feel about how things are going?
Well, look, I do think it was a misstep by the Labor government go in this direction when our kind of frontline public servants, you know, in particular in the medical professions, but also, you know, teachers and so on, have really borne the brunt of pandemic response. And so I think that that's why the public felt that that was really, at the very least, mistimed. And so that's, I think, where that level of support has come from.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party. The Wire.